This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Questions all over the place this hour. We're even going to talk about communist language, the Democrat ticket for 2028. We're going to talk about, well, the people being in charge, menu whispering. Some guy has a question about menu whispering, all that and so much more. Before we get to any of that, I want to do just one more thing on this question. What's the Democrat Party supposed to look like? I can't speak for a party I'm not part of. And I already explained what it's like, why we have these opposition parties. We should have more than just two, but that's what we've got. That's a system we've got. We got two, really. What I would like is this. For one, foreign policy-wise, I would like both parties, Republican and Democrat, to return to the founding foreign policy of the United States of America. The founding foreign policy of the United States of America, you're welcome to go read up on all of it. You want to start with George Washington's farewell address? You can. But you can read things from John Quincy Adams. I mean, it wasn't like this was a one-off. America's founding foreign policy was, we don't get involved in other people's affairs. We mind our own business. We trade with everybody. That was part of it. We will trade with everyone. Economically, we're happy to trade with you. But don't you get involved in some war and go calling on the American people to use their blood and their money to come save you. That is a no-go. And maybe you're thinking I'm some namby-pamby, modern-day hippie pacifist. That was America's foreign policy up to World War II. Even World War I, Woodrow Wilson and all of them really had to bend over backwards to try to justify getting the American public behind us getting involved in that war. The American people, remember, the numbers were in the high 90s. The American people did not want to get involved. The exact same thing for World War II. FDR had to campaign that he would not get us involved in that war. Again, the number was in the high 90s. If you are one of these people, Republican or Democrat, who believes America should be involved everywhere and boots on the ground and more aid for Ukraine, you're in the extreme minority in the history of this country. That is only a very recent foreign policy. The founders, all of them, universally rejected that. I would like to see both parties come back together on that, and that's really, really important. Let me explain why. What's happened is because we have opposition parties now and only two of them, foreign countries, allies and enemies, they can never bank on America and where America stands because the two parties, being opposition parties, are always going opposite ways whenever there is a regime change. Now, for instance, Let's use the country that is the source of so much controversy inside of American politics, Democrat and Republican, Israel. I've already told you my foreign policy, what it would be. That's universal for everybody. But let's talk about what the Republican and Democrat foreign policies are now. The Republican foreign policy is we will aid and abet Israel in every possible way. And when they want to attack Hamas or whatever, we'll send them all the bombs and everything they need. And we are behind you, Israel. Trump is vocally Israel. The Golan Heights are named the Trump Heights. They have billboards of Trump over there. That's the Trump policy, and that's what he was the first time. Well, Trump, quote, loses an election to Biden. Joe Biden steps in. Well, Jew haters are like 33, 34% of the Democrat base. You can't take that stance. So what Biden did was, it wasn't completely anti-Israel, but he kneecapped them every single way he possibly could. Every step of the way, he kneecapped them in their war against Hamas. Well, if you're, let's make it about Israel. What are you supposed to do if you're an Israeli politician? The next election's everything for you, right? Everything. It shouldn't be that way. Pick one foreign policy for both parties and stick with it. Iran, good example. Let's stay in the same part of the world. Democrats, because they are anti-American, have shifted their foreign policy to loving everyone who hates us. Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Trump had practically bankrupted Iran by the end of his first 4 years with his sanctions. He had crushed them. Democrats, because they hate America too, got in, lifted all those. Iran went gangbusters. This yo-yoing back and forth, foreign policy-wise, you can yo-yo domestically. Foreign policy-wise, you can't do this forever as a country because our allies and our enemies never know which way is up. They never know in the newest alliance, the newest treaty, the newest this, that the Democrats will get us in. The Republicans will get us out. The Republicans will get us in. The Democrats will get us out. You're going back and forth once every 4 years. There shouldn't be this much daylight in between the two parties foreign policy wise. It's not my job. It's not my circus. It's not my monkey to remake the Democrat Party. I can't stand them. But ideally for my country, it would be nice if both parties would return to the founding foreign policy. And keep in mind, again, up to World War II, that wasn't Democrat foreign policy. That wasn't Republican foreign policy. If you wanted to get elected president in this country, anytime up to World War II, Democrat or Republican, if there was a foreign conflict, you would have to campaign on promising the American people you would not get involved. Isn't that wild how things have changed now? And then that slowly shifted over the years. And then you had the Vietnam thing where the Democrats were all in on it with Lyndon Johnson. And then Republicans are supposedly trying to get us out with Nixon. And then fast forward past that, then it's Republicans who want to invade everywhere. George Bush just decides to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. And then Democrats are against that. So they want to pull us out. But then Democrats take over and they don't pull us out either. And it's just a disaster. The foreign policy, that should be the thing both parties agree on. Ideally, for our country, that's what would happen. But that's not where we're at, and it's not even close to being where we're at. Jesse, who do you think has a realistic chance of running the Democrat ticket in 2028? Newsom, I believe, is done. Shapiro from Pennsylvania won't run because he can't purge the Democrat Party of anti-Semitism. Whitmer has no value to Michigan. Buttigieg, the rear admiral, is an epitome of an empty suit. Says I can say his name. His name's David. Well, first, one lesson I most definitely have learned is I try not to figure out what the turbo freaks and the Democrat base want. I think you'd be naive to think it's not going to be. Newsom's going to run. Newsom started a podcast and he's having right wingers on his podcast trying to sound as reasonable as possible because Newsom is running for president in 2028 and he's not done at all. People can say he's done. He's a California governor. That means he has access to gobs of money. Newsom is going to run, and it's going to be a big boy campaign. Is he going to win? I don't know. J.B. Pritzker of Illinois is going to run. He's got a lot of money. He's fat, which is relatable. He's going to run. Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. She wanted to run the last time. She got crowded out of that. You know what Gretchen Whitmer didn't do? They had a couple open Senate seats in Michigan. This is a woman who wants to be a politician the rest of her life. Senate seats are cherry seats. 6 years? You only have to run for office every 6 years? Isn't that glorious? You can go be a corrupt scumbag for 5 years and then do what John Cornyn does, pretend to love America in the final year. Gretchen Whitmer passed on both Senate seats in Michigan. Why do you think she did that? Gretchen Whitmer's going to run. Buttigieg can't get his stupid face off of the television set. Buttigieg is going to run. That's the only reason he took that transportation secretary position, because he thought it would set him up to run for president. I don't know who else is going to be in the Democrat field in 2028, but all those people are going to be in that field. Now, you say Josh Shapiro can't do it because there's so many Jew haters now as part of the Democrat base. You might be right about that. That's why you didn't get it last time. The Biden administration, well, Kamala Harris specifically, they knew, hey, electorally, we should probably run the popular governor from the critical swing state of Pennsylvania that we need. And they passed on him because he's a Jew. Doesn't necessarily speak highly of where they're at now with Democrat politics. Is that going to have changed? I don't know. Shapiro, look, I don't like Shapiro, but he's very good at politics. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer to pick Shapiro. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do it. Now, let's talk about getting ourselves right, getting our energy levels up. You may wonder, I'm sure you're sitting there in wonder about how I can do a radio show with such bad seasonal allergies today. Well, when you don't shake your head, Chris. When your testosterone levels are through the roof like mine are, seasonal allergies don't hold you back. It's just another mountain to climb. Think of me like somebody who climbs Mount Everest. Only I had the aid of a male vitality stack to help me climb Everest. So I don't know. It's not like it was just me. It was me and Chalk as my helpful companion. Chalk has natural herbal supplements, the highest quality I've ever seen. I have a Chalk lit powder in my superfood smoothie every single morning. If you're watching this show, see that glass sitting in front of me? That's what was in it. Chalk lit powder in a disgusting superfood smoothie that Chalk lit powder did its best to save. CHOQ.com. Start some natural herbal supplements and get ready to feel so good, so full of energy. Even seasonal allergies can't hold you back. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a gigantic discount on subscriptions. And don't worry about getting one, because if you don't like it, it's easy to cancel. It's not like the gym. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And don't you worry, we will be back on Monday, and you can email whatever you'd like, love, hate, death threats, to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I want to get to this because it plays into a piece of audio I have out of Wyoming. Tim Walz made a very true statement. This guy says, the leading person in the Democrat Party is the voting public. Citizens of the USA lead themselves. The elected and appointed representatives in Washington are all servants of the people. If our representatives knew anything about the Constitution, they would know they are not our leaders. They do our bidding. You bring up an interesting point. The problem is the voter doesn't do anything about that. Our problems are our fault. That's hard for people like you to accept, because it's not your specific fault. You get involved. You vote in primaries. You get involved in elections. But the voting public at large, it's our fault. What we see, it's our fault. We see all this corruption that's been there forever. The voter hasn't rejected it. The voter in many ways embraces it or doesn't get involved at all. I'm going to play you a bit of audio. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not going to tell you what state he's from. I want you to listen to this audio. And as you listen, I want you to guess.
I think actually our cure does more harm than what we're trying to fix. And Mr. President, it's not a binary world. You're not either or. I guess we can define it by these ways, but that's not what people are.
He's talking about man or woman. I guess I should have given you a context. Man or woman. This is a tranny argument. I'm going to play it again. I'm not going to tell you what state it's from. This guy, I'll even give this away. This guy is part of the state legislature in this state. Play it one more time. Here it is.
I think actually our cure does more harm than what we're trying to fix. And Mr. President, it's not a binary world. You're not either or. I guess we can define it by these ways, but that's not what people are.
It's not a binary war. It's not, the argument was about men and women's sports. What state do you think that guy's from? What state did you guess? Did you guess Wyoming? Hey, Chris, do me a favor, if you don't mind. Look up the voter. Just look up Trump-Biden in the last election. Let's have just a little peek, shall we, into just how blood red Wyoming is. Wyoming is blood red. If you're a Democrat in the state of Wyoming, outside of maybe a tiny little pocket or two, you really can't win an election. That guy's name was Cale Case. He is a state senator from Wyoming. So how does that happen? Well, let me tell you how it happens. Trump won 71% in Wyoming. Thank you, Chris. I'll tell you how it happens. The voter doesn't get involved. Voters don't know their state rep. Voters don't know their state senator. They don't pay attention. They don't pay attention to their positions. They don't follow their politics. And they most definitely do not punish them at the ballot box come primary season. There is no excuse for that kind of insanity. And by the way, speaking of Wyoming, Wyoming does this. Idaho does this. These red state havens do this all the time. They'll take these pro-teachers union positions. My state, too. Texas does it, too. I'm not just pointing fingers. They'll take these ridiculous leftist positions, and then you find out this state rep or this state senator takes in huge contributions from this gross group and that gross group, and we can't ever seem to bounce these people in primaries because we don't freaking show up, especially red state voters. Red state voters, if you're in Wyoming, you know what's not happening? The animals aren't running through the streets. When criminals commit crimes, they get prosecuted. You're not overwhelmed with ridiculous gun laws. That's probably part of the reason you live in Wyoming. And because everything isn't turning into Sodom and Gomorrah around you, it creates a complacency in you. Same thing in Texas. Again, South Carolina, you name your red state. It creates a complacency so you don't feel this urgency to get involved. If you're listening to me right now in Boston, Massachusetts, and you're on the right, how much effort does it take for you to get angry and motivated to get involved in politics? Every day you wake up and you turn on WRKO or you look at the news and you're freaking shaking with rage. Oh my gosh, they did what? Someone has to stop it. And you get angry and you get involved. But you don't get those headlines in Wyoming. And so, politics? That's for someone else. Me? Nah, I'm not going to do that. I got basketball this weekend. Got to shoot hoops, intramural game. The kids have practices. Church on Sunday. Can't do anything after that. Then I'm going to go to work on Monday. State senator? Do we have a state senator, Bob? I don't know. Who is our senator? It's Case? Oh, it's what party? He's a Republican? Oh, good. Those are the good guys. Good, good, good. Good to go. Good to go. That's how we do it. And it's doomed us. The GOP primary voter in red states is as responsible for the destruction of America as the Democrat voter in blue states. Our red states aren't even close to being red enough. We neglect our primary process. Or even worse, the people who participate in it vote for the same dork we keep sending over there. And we wonder why things don't change. All right. Somebody wants tips on menu whispering. Somebody wants to talk about kindness, meaning women. How does their kindness translate into murder mystery stuff? All that, politics, and more. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
we have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday. We have so many questions to get to and not very much time left, so we have to continue. Dear Dr. Megamitz, you mentioned Aubrey watches true crime TV. So does my wife. She sleeps just fine afterwards, but I don't. Could her nurturing motherly kindness be a front if she's secretly plotting my gruesome demise? Why do women love murder porn? So look, women are complicated things. They just are. Men are much more simple human beings. Women are complicated. So I haven't completely worked out the why yet. But my wife is not alone in this. I get these emails all the time of crime podcasts and crime documentaries. And I actually have one of my buddies, he's one of my business partners, my business partner really, Chris Balfe is his name. He puts on this huge thing. I think it's every year. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's every year called Crime Con. And I've never been. I've heard it's wild, but it's a big conference with all these different true crime podcasters and displays and speeches. Like, it's a big true crime event. And I was talking to someone about Crime Con. I forget what it was because Ab was wanting to go. We actually couldn't end up doing it that year, but I think it was 90% of the attendees women. It's a women thing. Women thing. Women love that true crime stuff. And the best explanation I have for it, because I'm a dude and I'm not a woman, I can't explain it all the way, is in ways that dudes want to kind of avoid what we view as negative emotions or bad things, women will, at least Ob will, want to embrace them, wade into them, and feel them all the way. I got this email. I'm not going to be able to find it right here. But someone wrote me an email. I'll get to it eventually. Someone wrote me an email and they said, hey, can you tell us some stories about your dad? As you know, my dad passed suddenly 4 months ago, 5 months ago. He just passed suddenly. Can you tell us some stories about your dad? Because I used to tell stories about my old man all the time. And no, not yet. Because I can't. Because I don't want to be sad. You know, if I do that, it'll bum me out. And I don't want to do it. And I don't want to bum you out. So no. But if Ab is sad about something, she'll listen to like sappy music to make herself cry. I know Chris says why. Buddy, I don't know. If I'm sad, I'll listen to something upbeat, right? I want to go have fun with my boys. Let's go shoot some pool. Let's get a beer. Let's go to a baseball game. I'll do everything I can to avoid my emotions. Women, exactly the opposite. When it comes to true crime stuff, I think women have a fear that I will never fully appreciate, and I understand this. I lose sight of the fact that as a 6'8 male, now I'm not the baddest dude on the planet or anything like that at all, the furthest thing from it, but as a 6'8 male, I am not what is perceived as easy prey for anybody. I'm not prey. I always, like I said, I keep my phone in my pocket. I am always armed. If you see me, if I haven't gone through a metal detector, I am carrying a gun on me, and I'm always looking. I am always looking around me. But I am not prey, And a bad man is not going to look at me crossing a parking lot and think, you know, that's the one I've been looking for. Just my size alone, a 6'8 dude, he's going to think, ah, wait for the next one. You never know, right? Women know they are prey for evil scumbags all around us. It's obviously instinctual. They know. They're not naive. So therefore, being a victim of a crime, especially a violent crime, is probably more on a woman's mind than it will ever be on a man's mind. My wife probably thinks about, or at least flashes through her mind, being the victim of a violent crime more times in a week than I ever will in my lifetime. You know, I'm a dude. I daydream. I guess we all daydream. What do you daydream about? Same thing I daydream about. I want to take a scuba gear to the bottom of the ocean. I want to lead a medieval army on horseback. I mean, that same dumb stuff that dudes daydream about. Women daydream about people being after them, a dude chasing them through the woods. It's natural. So I think I'll get a bunch of emails from women now, and you're welcome to email me your explanation. I know you women are into it. I think women maybe wade into that. Hey, Jesse, you should see this podcast. This guy murdered 85 women and skinned them alive. Why would you want to listen to that? I think they wade into it because they're afraid of it, uniquely afraid of it. And for some reason, that's therapeutic. I know, Chris, I don't get it, but that's the best explanation I've got for it. I don't know. Jesse, I'm an aspiring menu whisperer. When I take dimes out on a date, I want to be proficient in my order selection. Plus, I want the best offerings from a menu. What is the key to becoming a good menu whisperer? Can you offer any tips? Is it a skill that can be acquired, or do you have to be born with it? Cheers. His name is Frankie. All right. Well, first, Frankie, I want to be clear about this. And I am going to help you, right? You need to lower your sights. Lower your ambition. Lower your bar. You can't be me. When it comes to menu whispering, I'm probably the best you'll ever see. I can look at a menu and I just know what the best thing on it is. I do this consistently. It's not even a bit for radio. I do it all the time. I walk at a restaurant. And Ob hates when this happened, and I do mean hates it because she knows what's coming. I will routinely get complimented by the waiter or the waitress when I order something. Ooh, good call. Just happened to us when we took my mother-in-law out for dinner last weekend. Took her out for dinner. I was looking at the apps, the appetizers on there, and one of them said smoked Gouda tater tots. And I said, everyone was putting in their order for sides. Everyone put in their order. Nothing from the waiter. I put in mine. He goes, oh, yeah, that was the right call. Everyone loves those. I said, oh, no. And, of course, Aub rolled her eyes. So for one, you can't be me. Lower your ambitions, all right? You can improve, but you can't be me. So I'll give you a couple helpful tidbits. First, is there an ingredient that you notice is on several items on the menu? Because remember, restaurants are businesses. They want to be able to reuse things. For instance, I'll just give you a for instance down here. I'm in Texas. We have the best Mexican food in the country. There's lots of great queso down here. Cheese dip, if you're one from the Northeast. There's lots of great queso down here. Do you look at that Mexican menu? Do you notice there are a lot of items with queso on it? Not just the queso. Oh, you can get this chimichanga with queso. Oh, you can get these special things with queso. Queso. If they're featuring queso all over the menu, that means the restaurant most likely has a queso recipe that is choice. And you should be getting something with the queso on it. Also, restaurants will oftentimes put a little highlighter by something. They'll mark it in some way as a bestseller. Don't be suckered into that. Sometimes that's one of the best items. You know what the, quote, bestseller they try to sucker you into ordering is oftentimes? The thing on the menu with the highest profit margin. So you sit down and you think, wow, I should get the calamari appetizer. They say it's their best seller. It's the one where they make the most money. So they're trying to talk you into it. Trust your instincts, all right? Those are two little tidbits. That's the best I can do for you. Now let's discuss Al Green, unpopularity of Democrats, some guys worried that his wife is a lesbian, and so much more coming up. What, Chris, in the final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, let's also discuss your pain. What if you could be pain-free in 3 weeks? That's not a lot of time. What's the date today? March 7th. What if you could be pain-free by April? You know, Relief Factor is there for us. And Relief Factor, they don't have to lock you in on some 10-year plan. Relief Factor, you know what they do? They're so confident in their 100% drug-free supplement. You take it every day. They sell a three-week quick start of it. $19.95. That's so confident, that's bordering on cocky. They tell you, stop masking your pain. Try this for 3 weeks. You'll call back, and almost everybody does. $19.95, is that worth it so you can stop rubbing your knee? So you can stop with the back pain and the wincing and the doing that every time you bend over? I know, I've been there. 3 weeks away from being free of that? It's like coming out of prison. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an incredible, incredible Friday. And as Dr. Jesse Friday, and yes, I'll be gone for the weekend, but back on Monday for Medal of Honor Monday. And you can get your questions emailed in now to Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. I should give Linda McMahon, new education secretary, the credit she deserves. Sounded pretty sharp out there.
The Department of Education was actually set up in 1980. And we've spent $1 trillion since then to educate students in our country. And we've seen scores continually decline. We're clearly not doing something right. And what I hope the Education Department will be able to do as we are paring down and preparing to turn over all control to the states, is that we can provide them with tools to help them. We can provide them with research. We can give them information on best practices that is working in many states already to get those scores up for reading and math. I mean, when you think about the fact that only 70% of, I mean, only 30%, I'll reverse it, only 30% of our students can read with proficiency. That's just absolutely unacceptable.
It is staggering that a country as wealthy and powerful as ours, 30% of the kids can read proficiently. Man, there are a lot of people who should be made to pay for that. And this is why I've implored you to be very, very careful where you send Aiden, Jaden, and Braden after they graduate high school. If you send them to college at all, be very, very careful. Be extra careful with your daughter. Our university system is bad. There's a reason there's a line around the city of people trying to get into Hillsdale College. There aren't many universities you can trust anymore. Hillsdale's been one of those rock solid universities where you know you get your kid into Hillsdale and they graduate from Hillsdale, you're going to have a very sharp, not brain warped, a very sharp young man or young woman on your hands. And I should note, remember, Hillsdale's offering more than 40 classes for free to all of us. We're talking courses like the Constitution 101. About the challenges the Constitution faced during the Civil War. How much do you know about that stuff? About the book of Genesis, those stories? Would you like to have a little bit more context there? Hillsdale gives out some of its wisdom for all of us, not just the smart kids who happen to be able to get in. I'm most definitely not one. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Remember, there's no cost here. It's easy to get started. Getting wisdom from your phone? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Linda McMahon said this too.
He's absolutely not going to allow federal funds to be going to these universities that continue to allow anti-Semitism on its campus. And that's just something we're not going to do. And I think there are a lot of different ways to look at that. That funding supports research. It supports many other programs that the universities offer. So if universities like Columbia and the Department of Education has launched 5 investigations now into different universities to make sure that they are not allowing anti-Semitism.
Talking about cutting $400 million to the University of Columbia, that probably hurts. I can't possibly get back to the emails without playing. You know who Francis Collins is? He's the former head of the NIH. NIH, you know, he was a big COVID lockdowner. He was the one that told you you were a nut job unless you thought COVID came from a bowl of bat soup. Basically, he was the evil tyrant in charge of a lot. He didn't get all the pub because Fauci was the one gobbling all that up. But Francis Collins was a nightmare. Well, today, today he went to an anti-Trump rally and Francis brought his guitar. So just sit back and close your eyes and soak up the music.
We're joined together by this noble dream. You got that? So it's just all the good people, but the second line, part of this family, and the last line, we're joined together by this noble dream. Do that with me. This is a song for all the good people. Come on. All the good people who are part of this family. This is
Chris, turn
a song
it up. Turn it up.
For all the good people, we're joined together by this noble dream. Well, this is a song for all of those.
I can't. If I keep laughing, I'm going to cough myself to death now. I'm crying. These people. Hey, greetings, fellow devil dog. As a former Amtraker, I've worked with and transported many mortarmen such as yourself. My first question is if you had to bear hug the mortar rounds to load in the tubes because your little baby hands couldn't grip the rounds completely. That's not nice. My second question is that on Wednesday, you mentioned a poll about Al Green's temper tantrum being 80% disapproval. I wonder if that was a national poll or if that came from his constituents. Well, of course, he knows the answer to that, and he brings up a very good point. Of course, a Marine would be savvy enough to bring up a very good point. It didn't come from his constituents. It was a national poll. And we make fun of all these wing nuts we see in Congress, the Al Greens of the world, the AOCs, the Rashida Tlaibs, the Jasmine Crockett's, and we listen to things like that and we cringe, but we don't want to accept an obvious uncomfortable fact.
Let me make sure y'all got the facts. Most extreme crimes that take place in this country are committed by white supremacists. 80% of extreme crimes are committed by white supremacists in this country. Do you know who went up there on January 6th? White supremacists.
She's popularly elected by her district. AOC is popularly elected by her district. Rashida Tlaib, Nancy Pelosi, picked a Democrat person in the House of Representatives. That's what their district wants. We keep us sane people, we keep marveling at the fact that, you know, Boston votes this way, or that Boston has this horrible mayor, that San Francisco has this horrible mayor, that Seattle has this horrible mayor. And your heart breaks for the solid people in those cities who are trying to change it. But as a whole, the voting public in those places, they want to live that way. They choose these people every single time. No one's holding a gun to your head. If you live in Chicago and you were angry about Lori Lightfoot, you had options on who to vote for after Lori Lightfoot. And it wasn't everyone in Chicago, of course, but the people of Chicago flocked to the polls and picked an open socialist nightmare, Brandon Johnson, and now he's destroying the city of Chicago. You get what you voted for. Over and over and over and over and over again, let us all stop making excuses for the voter. The GOP primary voter, the big city Democrat voter, they get what they vote for over and over and over again. Now, put your phone down. Go enjoy your family. I am going to go do the same. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.